You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, patriots and jackbooted thugs alike. It is the Hour of Power, the fastest moving, most listened to show in Blog Talk Radio. It is the TNT radio show, Thursday Night Truth, on the My View Matters radio network. Believe it or not, it is the last show of the month. Today is Thursday, February 27th, as I look up here at my Freedom Calendar. Thursday, February 27th, and we'll start out our show with This Week in History, as we always do. This week in 1781, the Articles of Confederation were ratified, probably something that they didn't talk to you about in the government indoctrination camps called public schools. And going forward from there, in 1947 this week, we have the Truman Doctrine of Perpetual War beginning. That's always lovely. The Truman Doctrine of Perpetual War began this week in 1947. And then moving forward a few more years, hard to believe it's now been 21 years, but this week in 1993 was when the military siege began. Janet Reno, Bill Clinton, and the ATF setting fire to the Church of the Branch Davidians in Waco, Texas. That started this week in 1993. And finally, it's now been 1 year. Yes, folks, 1 year ago this week, government benefit checks were mandated to be electronic. Whether we like it or not, government benefit checks, and not receiving any government benefit checks, so it didn't affect me. A lot of people were, and they were mandated to be electronic. Now, on tonight's show, we're hoping that our guests will be able to join us here in a few minutes, and we want to talk about guns and gun confiscation and the police state. And sometimes when we say police state, you guys think that we're being paranoid or conspiratorial, but other times there's just a lot of stuff in the news about very bad officers of the state. They used to call them peace officers. Now they're just called police enforcement. It went from peace officers to police enforcement. And I know the big news tonight is all about Russia and the Ukraine. We were talking about the Ukrainian quote-unquote revolution on this show weeks, if not months ago, when nobody else was talking about it. And I tell you one topic, since we're talking about guns and confiscation tonight, that I want to start out with, and that is up in the state of Connecticut. Since the quote-unquote tragic Sandy Hook shooting, if any of you guys believe there was no conspiracy there, then you really need to do your research and your homework. But since the Connecticut Sandy Hook shooting, lawmakers in that small northeastern state have led the nation in violating their citizens' Second Amendment rights. In Connecticut, the state legislature passed a bill banning so-called high-capacity magazines, which is anything above 10 rounds, and banning semi-automatic rifles with certain prohibited cosmetic attachments. Anyone who owned a magazine or rifle before the law was passed was grandfathered in, but they were also forced to register these quote-unquote dangerous weapons with the state beginning January 1st, 2014. So lo and behold, the registration deadline came and went, and the registration numbers are quite interesting. Just like in the neighboring state of New York, gun owners in Connecticut are refusing to register their firearms with the state. These law-abiding citizens became felons overnight when the Connecticut legislature passed a law that arbitrarily outlawed their previously legal firearms. Isn't that convenient? A total of 47,916 people registered their firearms, and another 40,000 people registered their high-capacity magazines with the state of Connecticut by the January 1st deadline. However, that could represent as little as 4% of the total number of assault weapons, quote-unquote, and prohibited magazines owned in the state of Connecticut. So in, I guess, what you would have to call a massive show of civil disobedience, gun owners have refused to comply with the mandated registration. And as a result, Connecticut's unjust law has just created upwards of 100,000 felons who otherwise committed no crime. So it kind of goes back to what we were talking about on the Ed Springson show last night, how ironic that here in Kentucky, we're trying to help those people who have served their time and paid their debt to society. We're helping them to try to get back into being able to vote and maybe be involved in that tiny little charade that is their civic duty, quote unquote. So here in Kentucky, in the same week that we're trying to help those convicted felons who have paid their debt to society and who have done their time in a prison cell, in a cage, we're trying to help them get their rights to vote back. At the very same time, in Connecticut, they're creating 100,000 new felons who otherwise have committed no crime. So now the state is going after these gun owners, and believe it or not, have begun sending out gun confiscation letters. Yes, gun confiscation letters. Lest you think that we are just being conspiracy theories, you can go look it up yourself over at beforeitsnews.com and read about this story. You see, you had some gun owners who tried to send in their registration forms by the deadline, but did not account for the fact that their government post office would be closed for New Year's. Well, this led to a number of registration forms arriving after the deadline. Rather than introduce new legislation, of course not, to extend the deadline for 3 days, Governor Daniel Malloy unilaterally decided that all registration forms received by January 4th would still be accepted. Well, how kind. He would give you 3 extra days to turn over your lawful constitutional guns. How kind of the governor. Bow down to the great Governor Malloy of Connecticut. Well, the problem is a few hundred applications still arrived after the second arbitrary deadline. And guess what? The state of Connecticut has decided to go after these law-abiding gun owners. As we speak, there are over 200 confiscation notices en route to Connecticut citizens who own semi-automatic rifles and prohibited magazines. Remember, every time we bring this stuff up, all we hear is all your conspiracy nuts. This can never happen in the United States. Nobody would ever take your guns away in the United States. And if you did, there would be outright riots and chaos and revolution. Well, again, over 200 confiscation notices are en route to Connecticut citizens who own semi-automatic rifles and prohibited magazines. Rather than treat the late registration forms as applications, the state of Connecticut is treating them like notarized admissions of guilt. Notarized admissions of guilt, ladies and gentlemen. The letters from the state of Connecticut's Special Licensing and Firearms Unit reads that because the applicants failed to meet the arbitrary deadline to turn in their guns, that he or she will have one of four options. Number one, render the weapon and magazine inoperable. Number two, sell the weapon and magazines to a licensed dealer. Number three, remove the assault weapon magazine from the state of Connecticut. Or number four, make arrangements to relinquish the weapons and magazines to a police department. The police department, who never do anything wrong and would never abuse their powers, who we'll get into in a moment. But the ball is now in the gun owners of Connecticut's court because the vast majority of gun owners have defied the registration laws. And now those who have attempted to register their guns but missed the ridiculous, stupid deadline have found themselves in the state's crosshairs, pun intended. So the state knows that these people possess illegal weapons, quote-unquote. It is doubtful that police will just trust that if citizens comply with the order, they will have to go door-to-door to make sure that these gun owners have their guns taken away. They will have to go door-to-door to make sure that the gun owners will have their guns taken away. So will the police confiscate the weapons using force? Well, the police department never does that. And will the citizens violently resist this infringement on their Second Amendment rights? Guess we'll have to tune in and see, won't we? And I believe that our good friend is now on the line with us. I wanted to have him come on the show because he hasn't been on here with us for a while. We'll see if we can avoid the black helicopters for the next half an hour or so. My good friend Chris Diamond, I believe, joins us. Chris, are you with us?
I sure am, Dale. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great, my brother. I don't know. I know you were trying to get to us on that 7:15 hard deadline there. I don't know if you heard us talking about the state of Connecticut going after the gun owners because they're not allowed to have guns anymore, so they're going to go confiscate them. What say you about that, Chris?
Well, I saw a post someone put up supposedly from the state of Connecticut to people with unregistered guns saying, turn them in or else. And I wondered aloud, I was like, wow, are they trying to start the second revolution? I mean, what the hell is going on here? And I'm wondering if, like so many other places in the Northeast, specifically over the last 18 months, if they're running another PSYOP, like they did with the Boston Marathon, like they did with Sandy Hook, like they did with Watertown, Massachusetts, where they were able to get the people to not only obey and stay inside their homes or allow police in their homes without so much as a warrant or anything under the guise of protecting them or safe. I mean, what's next? What is going to be the next outright blatant infringement upon basic liberties guaranteed by the Bill of Rights?
Well, they said these things could never happen here, Chris. They said that this stuff, you know, it's just conspiracy theory land when we talk about this stuff. And I know I brought you in there without a lot of introduction, but I believe you've been on here a couple times before with us, Chris. And I know you used to do a little blog radio show kind of thing of your own. And I don't know if you've been doing that lately. I want you to kind of reintroduce the audience to what you've been up to. And are you still doing any shows like that?
I have not in quite a while. I was preparing to make a pretty massive transition in my life. I am now happily reporting that I have become Mr. Mom. I've traded places with my spouse, who is a lot more ambitious and arguably more capable than I am at doing certain things, and I seem to have a better knack for doing the homeschooling of our daughters. So it works out because she gets to get back into doing more of what she loves, and I get to get into doing something that I've been jealous of her being able to do for the last, 4 years. So,
I couldn't remember the name. I mean, again, I've been very busy today and all kinds of crazy bad news coming out. So was it the Diamond Report? Is that what we called it? What it used to do, or what was it?
I started out in 2010 or 2011 with a very short 1 minute podcast called The Liberty Minute, and I was putting out one to two of those, and I essentially tried to drill down the latest and greatest of the news from a more libertarian or constitutionalist perspective.
The Liberty Minute. I do remember that now. I couldn't remember the name for a minute there. I apologize, Chris, but again, you've lived all over the place. I know that you were in Hawaii, and I know you lived on the different coasts and such, and I know you're out of Georgia now. And again, we see this gun confiscation BS, and you would think that they never come for our guns. And, of course, you and I are in states that we'd probably be the last to ever have this happen. But who would have thought, right up there in the land that our Constitution was founded in, New England, that they now are going to let them go door-to-door and taking these weapons away? Will the citizens violently resist this infringement on their Second Amendment rights, Chris?
No, I don't think so. Not up there. I believe where you are and where I are, or where I am, something like that is much more likely, but not in Connecticut, not in the Northeast, not in the liberal states where they've been taught that the government is the only justified person to put their boot on your neck. And instead of complaining about it, what you ought to do is just say, yes, sir, oh, by the way, more, please, more. And if someone like you or I comes out and says, hey, this is bullshit, then they look at us and they're like, commie, freako, weirdo, and they point us out and go tattle on us. So, big sis and all can pinpoint us through our phones on the GPS and get those black helicopters you were talking about to come hover over us for a little while. And God only knows what, man, but I don't think it's going to be violently resisted at all.
I mean, you would think that this would be the biggest news on all the headlines and the phony, fair and balanced Fox News and the pill-popping Rush Limbaugh that they'd be talking about this, but I haven't heard much about it. Remember, Connecticut is supposedly the Constitution state. I mean, this should be a stark reminder of how fragile the Second Amendment rights are. You've got all three branches of government, in my opinion, conspiring against us to disarm the population, and we know that the current President Obama has made it obvious that he supports a quote-unquote assault weapons ban. If he had the power, and he already talks about all that matters is his pen and his phone, and he would institute it using one of those executive orders he's so fond of. So how long before the federal Nazis try to do something like this, Chris?
Oh, I couldn't even speculate on that. That's why I'm saying perhaps this effort in Connecticut, I wouldn't be surprised to see New York go next, but this effort in Connecticut may be like testing the waters. You know what I mean? By seeing just how pliant the people are and how willing they are to look the other way and be like, well, I guess this is for our own good, and only bad people, you know, shouldn't have guns. I registered mine, so I get to keep it, you know, and all this other kind of crap to see if
and
maybe they can get away
with
it. Another place.
I mean, what a benevolent king that he is up there, the governor of Connecticut. He gave them 3 extra days, and I'm afraid you're probably right. They probably are not going to resist this, Chris, and they're probably going to say, hey, that was a lot easier to take away these peasants' guns than we thought it was going to be.
Oh, of course. Of course. Now, the interesting thing for me, the funny thing is that in places like the Northeast and the places like the left coast out in California, I could be wrong, but I wouldn't be surprised if it were the quote-unquote criminal elements like gang members and drug dealers and stuff that were the first to resist efforts to take the weapons. Of course, what's the media going to do with that? They're going to say, right. See, look at the criminals violently attack the police who are just trying to do their jobs. Like, just feed more freaking propaganda and bullshit, man. That's amazing.
No, it really is. When you look at Congress, I mean, first glance, Congress seems to have abandoned any gun fights. Last year's failure to pass that watered-down legislation in the Senate seemed to have revealed gun control to be impossible. However, we escaped the last fight by the skin of our teeth, and you had 5 more votes in favor of the Manchin-Toomey background check bill would have pushed it through the Senate. Then we would have had to been forced to count on John Boehner, as we call him, to defend our constitutional rights, and I sure am not going to hold my breath on that. So the Senate is basically, before the midterm elections, that right now the Senate is basically 5 votes away from passing gun control, and the House of Representatives seems to maybe be a couple of dozen votes away, so we can't really become complacent and assume they're not going to do it on the federal level. The gun control groups are going to keep lobbying and trying to buy off their cheap whores in Congress to take issue of gun control again. So I think the truth is that we're just another one of these little tragedies, a handful of votes away from expanding Connecticut's gun confiscation program nationwide.
Right. And you know, George Santanaya said it best, you know, he who fails to learn from history is doomed to repeat it. So, you know, this isn't surprising to anyone like you or I. I've spent time to study these things historically and to look at the political landscape, not only the political landscape, but the general landscape of the American people as far as what's really important to them. And I'll tell you what isn't important to them is their rights being flushed down the toilet in front of their face and being told that it's for their own good and believing it. They're much more interested in football, basketball, baseball, Kim Kardashian, Kanye West, and all this other thing. All this other crap doesn't mean a damn thing.
Yeah, we pretty much ban all that pop culture stuff here on our show. And the truth is, the American Revolution, if it even isn't taught in any of the government indoctrination camps today called public schools, they don't tell the truth about it. And the good news, I guess the only redeeming quality I can see is the reality that only 3% of the colonial population actively resisted King George and the British Army to get where we were, before all that went down. The other 97% resisted passively. They were afraid to do anything, or they remained loyal to the crown, but only 3% of the population was able to defeat what was supposed to be the greatest military power in the world. So I guess we can hope that if 1% or 2% of the people of Connecticut do that, we know it'll make big news if they do resist it. That's the problem. If they just go along with it and turn over their weapons, it won't make the news. But they want you to think that, hey, why do you need these guns, Connecticut? Because the police departments are going to take care of you. And as we've said here repeatedly, you get in states like Connecticut, maybe a lot of people don't know. I've been around Connecticut, and in Connecticut, there's a lot of rural areas. And when seconds count, you know, the police will be in there in a half an hour or so. And then it's a matter of, can we trust the police? And that kind of gets into our second piece that I said you and I were going to talk about tonight. And that is just the police state, quite literally, how out of control it is. I mean, when I had friends that had to start a group up close to that area, up in New Hampshire, which truly is the live free or die state more than any others, when they had to start a group called copblock.org because of badges and how people think these badges grant extra rights, what does it come to when the police, who they want the peasants to protect them, are now attacking them, Chris?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that are interesting and it must be taken into perspective regarding this whole thing. I think it was 2008 or 2007, perhaps, a new story ran in the New York Times about how the Supreme Court of the United States affirmed that the police had no duty whatsoever to provide protection to citizens.
Yep.
Okay, and then what I've read is that recently, as recent as the last day or two, the Supreme Court of the United States just increased the ability of police officers to enter your home and search it without a warrant.
And so, well, Warren versus with the District of Columbia was the off-quota D.C. Court of Appeals case that held that police do not have a duty to provide public service to individuals, even if a dispatcher promises help is on the way, except when police develop a special duty to particular individuals. And that goes all the way back to the 80s.
Right. And this thing that came out about the Supreme Court of the United States increasing the powers by which the police can come in and search your home without a warrant?
Yep.
Did you read about that? It came out in the last couple of days.
I did. I mean, I know you're talking on the federal level or on states.
As far as I was aware, I only got the, you know, I'm kind of busy doing the homeschool stay-at-home dad thing, but as far as I was aware, that was
states. I know they said there was a Supreme Court ruling that does ease the police search of suspects' homes. That was, I believe, unfortunately, you are correct, that did go before the Supreme Court of the guys and gals wearing the black muumuus. It was the Supreme Court case, I'm looking at this from just a few days ago, handing a victory to law enforcement, making it easier for police to search a without a warrant. Yeah, we don't need no stinking warrants. The court held on to a 6-3 vote. The police can search your home without a warrant, even if the suspect objects, as long as he is no longer on the scene, and if a co-tenant gives consent. Well, that seems fair and kind and generous.
Doesn't it? But what
Chris,
we are
saying
is,
I think
what?
I got one of our good friends, Paul, here in Louisville, Kentucky, wants to jump into the fray if we can grab him here. Paul, I believe you're on the air with us. What say you about the police taking care of you and you beating you down at the same time?
Well, first of all, I guess I'm not very appreciative because I didn't ask for it. So I'm just going to be an ingrate on that particular point.
Yeah, you are. You're a terrorist.
But the specific case that that this increased warrantless searches stem from had to do with the his and her disagreement. He said no. She said yes. And for some reason, I think they said they found, I put that in quotes, a warrant on this guy. They arrested his ass, and they said the mere fact that he was arrested constitutes him not being there. Therefore, his wishes cannot or will not be honored anymore. So
unconstitutionally. After they remove him, well, now he's not there, so now they have consent.
Well, that part is bothersome, but what bothers me even more is the fact that the Supreme Court said that the act of being arrested constitutes removal from the property or from the home. Now, guys, I know you know the answer to this, but how many cops will just make shit up to arrest somebody? They'll just make it up.
Cops making stuff up. Chris, do you think that would ever happen in our fine land?
Get right out of town, Dale. I'm not hearing any of this nonsense. You guys. Yeah, absolutely it would, and it does. All too often.
Oh, you're fading out, Chris. You might get closer to the phone there. I think the black helicopter is trying to get you.
Uh-oh, we're being intercepted.
There you are. Now, you're back.
I was saying, of course that happens. Of course that happens. And then we hear so much about these, oh, whoops, wrong door, where the cops broke in and either killed the person's dog or killed the person themselves. You know, wrong door, whoops. And we want to give these people the power and sole control over defending us when they can't even get that kind of crap right? No, thank you.
Well, the latest story, guys, come out of Oklahoma showing five Oklahoma cops piling on top of this man in a movie theater parking lot this month, leading to his death, and this was finally released by the late man's attorney, showing the cops were struggling with a dead man for 5 minutes. Now, how bad must you be at law enforcement if it takes you 5 minutes to struggle with a dead man? But after all, Luis Rodriguez, 44, was not only not resisting, he didn't even have a pulse. But you could hear during the video, cops saying, calm down, sir, as he was already dead. How about that?
I wish I could say it surprises me, but.
I mean, you can hear him saying, calm down, sir, as they push his face into the pavement. His wife was video recording. I'm surprised she didn't get put in a cage for video recording, and maybe she did. I haven't read to the end of the story here. One of the cops did walk up to her to reassure that everything was under control as her husband lay dead. And he does grab her phone, of course, and she is in no condition to even question this move, just seeing her husband killed. And this began when the man's wife slapped their teenage daughter over an argument at this movie theater. So that seems fair and just. Right, Paul? Right, Chris?
Well, again, I'm going to state the obvious here. Cops enjoy their own brand of gang thuggery, okay? That when they have, we've heard the stories coming out of airports from TSA, where they'll pat down 7-year-old girls or they'll frisk a 72-year-old woman. That's because they know that these people are not likely to resist, okay, and they're not likely to give them any grief. So the fact that this guy, he must not have appeared to be much of a threat to these five cops, because that's the only thing I can come up with as to why they gang-tackled him and then stood on him. After he was already passed away, you know.
Well, the surveillance video.
Cop thing.
Yeah, the surveillance video might reveal some details. It'll probably get disappeared or something. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, but the cops have their own form of gang mentality. All right. Let me tell you, if they didn't have their gun on their hips, many of them would not be a cop. They wouldn't be a cop. They need the gun on the hip to show what a badass they think they are. But take the gun away, and these folks are nowhere near as brave. So,
I would want to ask the police officers, how can they claim that it would be necessary to beat a dead man? I guess that was a good idea for me to open up the show tonight with a drive-by trucker song, Used to Be a Cop, but they kicked me off the force. It was the opening song we played tonight. If they watched the video about beating him and subduing him and cuffing him and using pepper spray. I mean, he's not complying. The guy's dead. How dare he lose his pulse and his consciousness and not obey his master's commands, right, Chris?
Absolutely. It's disgusting and makes me sick. It makes me sick on every level, because even amongst that, even when you see a blatant injustice like that, you still have people out there defending, well, we don't know what actually happened and all this other kind of crap. Well, I can tell you this, that a domestic dispute that results in five cops kicking the shit out of an individual,
mm-hmm.
you know, there was nothing about what happened that night that mandated the guy ought to die right there on the freaking street in front of his wife.
And I'm assuming his teenage daughter, the one who got slapped by the wife that started this incident, I'm assuming that the daughter's still there too, and that was in the middle of it. But you hear these stories. I mean, I remember the story, and Paul, you're pretty good with the research. You remember the story also in the last month where the police officer arrested the fire department?
Yeah, I remember that.
I did.
You all remember that one? You know, the fire department. I mean, I like the fire department. These guys are actually looking out for us. I can't think of too many bad things to say about the fire department. I guess there was a fire official, and the police was having a you know, whose penis is bigger contest with the fire official. He just figured, hell, I'll just arrest him. I mean, that should be the top story on all newspapers, just like I was telling Chris Paul about how this confiscation of guns in Connecticut should be the top story. But as you and I have talked on the airwaves many times before, upon as Chris and I were talking about, it probably will go off with little more than a firecracker's response. So they can get so many thousands of people to turn over their guns. Hey, that makes the people less secure and the police force that much more powerful.
Well, I've talked on your show and also on the Ed show numerous times about what I believe it's time for, and that is I think we need some courageous states to take the lead and form a new alliance. Let's have a reassociation, okay? It's obvious that the federal government enjoys wielding their power, and then many states enjoy being made subservient, but there's still a few states, particularly out in the West, that I think have enough moxie to decide, let's go form a new version of the United States, because after all, as I recall, we do have a constitutional guarantee of freedom of association. And if that's,
well, the story
true,
I was quoting, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
But and if that's true, then it shouldn't be a major problem constitutionally to realign ourselves. Because
right.
I would love if the liberal-leaning states, if they want to congregate together, have at it. But leave the rest of us alone. We don't want your brand of Americanism. It's not good for us.
Well,
so
you would think that those states out west, like you said, would be ones to put up more resistance. And as I was just talking to you about, Chris, only 3% of the colonists were all it took to fight against the crown of King George. The story I was reading about was out west. Unfortunately, it was out in California, and this was the story just 2 weeks ago. A California firefighter was placed in handcuffs and detained by a California highway policeman. That's the Chips guys, you know, Eric Estrada knows back in the days, because he was helping crash victims and did not move his fire truck when he was told to do so by the police officer. So they arrested him. I mean, that seems only fair. He was a terrorist, right? The police arrested the firefighter because the firefighter didn't jump and say how high when the police told him to jump.
Dale, I think you ought to find a way to get Rodney King on your show and ask him those questions.
Didn't he die? I don't have to Wikipedia. I don't know. I thought maybe Rodney King died. I know he's been in and out of prisons and jail so often. He knows what it's like to be in and outside of a cage. Ironically, you mentioned him. It was also, I didn't mention this in the top of the news stories, it was also, Rodney King died last June. But it was also 23 years ago this week when the police beat down Rodney King. So I guess they're just celebrating their anniversary. Paul, stick with us. I've got to go to the hard hour break. And Chris, I definitely want to have you weigh in on some more of this police state stuff. We'll be right back, folks, at the bottom of our break. You're listening to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network.
There goes the last DJ, who plays what he wants to play, and says what he wants to say, hey, hey, hey. And there goes your feet. was the last DJ who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. And there goes your freedom of choice. And there goes the last human voice. And there goes the last DJ. Sometimes it'll kind of come in, and I'll bust a move and remember how it was back then. And there goes the last DJ who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. And there goes your freedom of choice. There goes the
first impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
And we welcome you back, ladies and gentlemen. We do think you can handle the truth here. It is a TNT radio show on the My View Matters radio network. And just to remind you always, you can hear shows on this network 5 days a week, Sunday through Thursday. On Sunday nights, our good friend Ken Mulman hosts Liberty Unbridled. And then on Monday and Tuesday nights, Ed Springsteen has his show with Ed Martin in tow. And then on Wednesday nights, I join Mr. Springsteen. And that brings us right up to TNT radio show here on Thursday nights, the My View Matters radio network. And we went into the break there. How ironic, we play our ad there talking about the Crime Stoppers, and we cover it from all angles, both the criminals behind the badge and the gun and the criminals in front of the badge and the gun. And Paul from Stop Invisible Taxes joined us a moment ago, and Paul, of course, was instrumental in the Stop Invisible Taxes hotline to report the corruption of government here in Louisville, Kentucky. And hopefully our good friend Chris Diamond is still hanging with us there. Chris, are you avoiding the black helicopters over there, brother?
To the best of my ability, thank you.
I have faith in you. So we were talking about these California cops handcuffing firefighters and beating down a man and his wife with five of them on one dead man. Because, you know, if he's not breathing, that's a fair fight there, five on one. And again, Paul was talking about the R word, the revolution word. And as we said earlier, only 3% of the colonists were what it took to stand up to King George. And I know you and I talked off air about a story. Maybe it's a little bit off the main front page now above the header, but there was a story about a general. I believe that he was a retired general who said he was ready to lead the Second American Revolution. Do you remember any of the details on that?
That was retired Army Major General Paul Vallely. He said he had a call. This is this article came up on the 27th of January. It was on the rawstory.com.
Yeah.
And he said he had a call one afternoon from Idaho, and the gentleman said, if I give you 250,000 Marines, which, break real quick, there aren't 250,000 Marines, to go to Washington, will you lead them? Vallely said, yeah, I will. I'll surround the White House and I'll surround the Capitol building, but it's going to take physical presence to do things. He said, you know, he kind of highlighted what we already...
Yeah, the audience likes that. Go ahead.
He said that he basically just summed up that what we already know, you know, that writing our senators and congressmen is pointless. Nothing's going to happen. And he's also wanted to be clear that he's not inciting a revolution, but he says we've got to get more physical and stand up and protest. And I believe he's talking about making our presence known in a peaceful manner, which I advocate. I don't want to see a revolution. I don't want to see violence of any kind.
Not
of
a
sort.
Violent one. I agree. Yeah, civil disobedience. You know, those key words there. You got to be civil and being disobedient. Being civil and being a sheep doesn't do you good. And if you're disobedient but you're violent, that's what they want, right? They want violent citizens.
Well, I don't know if you keep up with someone I listen to quite regularly, Adam Kokesh, and what he went through last year.
Yeah, I've been on Adam's show months and months ago, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, he goes into Washington, D.C. and allegedly loads an alleged shotgun with an alleged shotgun shell.
Yeah, we say that on the show here, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, he gets thrown in the clink. And he was facing, up to like 30-some-odd years or some kind of crap like that for a multitude of different charges.
It's ridiculous because they filmed him allegedly, like you said, loading that gun. And then they went to his house, and he wasn't there. And they went in, basically did the whole, we're going to run and do what we want, warrants be damned, you know, harassing people, assaulting people until he finally got their man. And he was put in a cage for quite a while with any kind of hearing or any kind of trial.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, I really think that was meant to be, that the state probably thought that was an excellent way to make an example of Mr. Kokesh, but I think they, for whatever reason, they stopped short. I was actually really afraid that Adam was going to end up in jail for a very long time.
I thought he was going to be there a long time. The judge sentenced him, you know, at the time he had a whole 2 years of probation going on, and again, he revealed... The reality of this government is not based on protecting the freedoms of the American people, but it's exploiting the American people. That's what I said at the beginning of my show. You may not have been on the air yet. How ironic that here in Kentucky, we had our Senator Rand Paul testifying in Frankfort at the state government about trying to help people who are convicted felons, some of them get their voting rights back. And you and I both agree that voting is like the smallest amount of what you can do. It has like the least importance and the least impact anymore. But how ironic, we're trying to get those felons their rights back after they've served their time. And Connecticut is creating 100,000 new felons. So it's definitely different in the states where you and I are, and what it's like up there, sans New Hampshire, the rest of the Northeast is pretty much constitution be damned, I guess.
Yeah. And that's going to go first through the liberal states, and they're going to sell it, if they haven't already completely sold it this way, that the Constitution inhibits their ability to bring out their agenda and freedom the way they see it, where everybody is free to have free health care and, you know, have free provision at someone else's expense. But, you know, they're never going to sell out the fact that nothing is free. The money to pay for these free things comes from someone. And the government's function, at least in that regard, is to take from certain people to give to others. And there's no morality in that, but nobody wants to hear the moral argument.
Now, in the example you mentioned that they made of Adam Kokesh, this goes back to last summer, the hot summer back in July. He had went to that plaza on the D.C. Mall with a local news crew, and police indicated, he might have used a green screen. He might not actually been in front of Freedom Plaza. They admitted themselves. But the data from government surveillance cameras would show he was there and that he loaded a shotgun on Independence Day. But that's all he did. He loaded the shotgun. He did no harm. He didn't drone any children like our president does. He didn't steal any children's futures like our Congress does. He didn't sell the country into debt like our globalist banksters do. He didn't do any of those crimes. As he said, the, quote, man blocks over there at the White House is responsible for, and that they were going to go marching. And 5 days later, a U.S. Park Police SWAT team raided his house in Virginia. Figure that one for a minute. Washington, D.C. Park Police SWAT team raided his home in Virginia. So much for grounds of jurisdiction, all right. They executed a search warrant, supposedly, allegedly, for a shotgun. They were all footage from the video. There were helicopters above. They knocked down, they kicked down the doors with grenades in the foyer of his home, filled it with smoke, because he loaded a gun, allegedly, on camera. So they definitely wanted to make an example of him because he wanted to spread the message of liberty. But my question, Chris, is if there were 1,000 Adam Kokeshes, would they really go and do this to 1,000 people's homes?
You know, I've gotten to the point, man, where I don't put anything past this government. They realize that we are essentially...
But they don't have the numbers.
I don't know that. I mean, you know, there's a lot of police, and there's plenty enough to take on individuals. It depends. I mean, if they were all 1,000 people from the same small town, likely not.
Right.
But they might
exactly.
get... The state might get pressured to send the National Guard into that particular town to deal
yep.
with the issue.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's the thing. If they're peace activists, again, you and I both talked about, we don't believe in revolution. I never have. And, again, we want peaceful civil disobedience, a nonviolent revolution that will mostly campaign of civil resistance, including nonviolent protests, to bring about the departure of governments seen as entrenched and authoritarian. And that might sound like a pipe dream, but many campaigns of civil resistance are aimed at much more limited goals than revolution. Generally, a nonviolent revolution is characterized by advocating human rights, independence in different countries. And it happens all the time around the world. And of course, granted, if it's Nicaragua or Venezuela or the Ukraine, they don't want to show it here in the United States. They don't want us to get any ideals, right?
No, not at all. That's why I thought they really had a – I really think – they had a bit of a scared reaction toward the Arab Spring, because what we saw in Egypt at the beginning there was the revolt of regular people against a dictator that America installed and funded for 30 years. And those little peons, if you were successful in completely changing, or so they thought, their government. And no, I don't think the American government has any interest at all in letting American people see that that kind of stuff actually works. Was there violence? Yes. Was that unfortunate? Absolutely. I don't want any part of it. You know,
right.
But
in the police state that Obama has administered, you know, before he was even elected, we were talking on the air here, heck, on other shows I did about the Obama deception, about how he wanted this civilian police force. And our friend Paul is back in the chat room now. He's talking about the fact that former Army General Paul Vallee is vehemently denying a statement that he supposedly made about supporting the overthrow of President Obama. So, of course, these wackos over Right-Wing Watch, who are the people for the American Way, and all these socialists over there, they love their big government. There's debate over there about whether he made these statements at a Tea Party event about being for an anti-Obama revolution, when the fact is he said he wasn't for a violent revolution. But this is the kind of stuff I've been talking about, Chris, so on this show and other shows in weeks past, is they want, I think, the people to be violent, at least a couple, because then they can do what they want. I mean, Maryland cops assaulted a man for filming and said you had no freedom of speech. That's a story that was just sent to me a few minutes ago over the IntelliHub news. So they want to isolate a few individuals. I think you're right. The numbers, the sheer numbers would matter only if they were all in a certain area, because they want to divide and conquer. And if they can keep it to one or two lone nuts in each area, then that's all that matters. Now, someone else in the chat room says that this General Vallee had nothing to do with the peaceful protest plan for Patriots for America. So I don't know about the details. I'm just reading what comes across in the chat room here. But again, they want to divide and conquer. I don't know what they would do if, like you said, you had 1,000 people in one spot who didn't want to be oppressed.
I just sent you something there, a link. And
yep.
If you hit that link and you scroll down beneath the picture of the general, there's a SoundCloud embedded there that you could actually play the speech or the remark made by Bruno Popolari.
We'll research that and talk about it a little bit more because I'm getting two sides of the issue on that. But again, the bottom line is this. If you have people who stand up for their rights in other countries, they don't talk about it here because, again, it's okay if the Black Panther Party talk like this. It's okay that if you have a president and his civilian police force, it's okay if they do this crap. I mean, we've seen a history of what they do to citizens, Chris, if they don't like you doing things with your within your constitutional rights. I talked about at the top of the show about what they did in Waco, Texas. And we know for a fact, I've talked about on this show over and over and over, how they could have gotten David Koresh, doesn't matter what you think about him as a person or as a cult leader, as they called him, or a church leader. I love how it's a church, it's a compound if you're anti-government. They could have gotten him anytime they wanted, but instead, we know that it was the anniversary this week of when they went in and just blew up all the children and women and Koreshing them in there. They didn't have to do that. One of the people in the chat rooms is telling me, there was 1.5 million people in D.C., on September 12, 2009, and there was no violence. He says he was there. There was not one arrest, not one disturbance. And I knew some people that were there. And again, if you stand up for your rights in individual little pockets, they've proven that they have some guns to go after you. We've talked about on this show all the ammunition that they've bought. So we know the collectivists, big government folks, are going to back their coup to do whatever they want, and Constitution be damned. But I'm starting to ramble here, Chris, and like I said, we'll have to research on the Paul Valley story and talk about it a little bit later, but we talk about a lot of problems on the show. I wanted to get your opinion in the closing minutes here. What can we do for nonviolent revolution in these kind of places?
I'm so glad you asked, and unfortunately, I don't have a better solution to offer than this. It's completely untenable, and I'm gonna admit that right up front. And the reason it's completely untenable is because the best way to get what we're wanting, which is a whole lot less government in our lives, is to cut the purse strings. For example, when I was living in Hawaii, I discovered that for every dollar Hawaii sent to the federal government, they got back about $1.84. Okay? So Hawaii is a liberal state, no doubt. But in other states where they're sending money to Washington and then getting back, you know, money built in pork projects and whatnot through legislation, if we don't cut those purse strings first or start maybe using an underground type of economy where we develop and trade our own currency, Bitcoin is kind of making headway with that, then, you know, they don't really give a damn about what you and I do or say so long as we keep paying our taxes.
Yep. No, I mean,
that's
a very good point. Yep. Now, there was an administration going back 30 years ago where there was a high-ranking member of that administration. I'm not going to name any names or which partisan party they were in, but basically the guy looked out there on the mall at one of these big marches, and the president at the time was so worried about it, and this gentleman looked at the president and said, Mr. President, it doesn't matter. Let them do whatever they want as long as they keep paying their taxes.
Yep.
And that's it.
It's sensible because we would have to quit using this fiat money. We would have to quit giving the Federal Reserve any kind of credibility and whatnot, and that opens up to a whole host of different issues that could create, you know, economically, not only for our country, but across the world.
Yep.
And no government wants to deal with that, but again, a sizable enough group of people are not willing or able to cut the U.S. dollar out of their lives and to live, you know, on like an agorist-style economy.
I could say that much better myself, Chris. Unfortunately, this show moves very fast, and we are up against, we're into overdrive a little bit, so we definitely invite you back anytime. Our good friend Chris Diamond checking in with us. Any final thoughts for the audience, Chris? We do final thoughts on this show. Anything you want to send out to the audience about maybe if anything you have in the works or any last words you want to give out to them before they black helicopters come for us tonight?
Yeah, I do. First, if you're listening to this show, then I consider you a patriot and a friend. And I appreciate what you're doing in your life. I would encourage you to affect the circle that you can, and that's yourselves and your family. Be prepared. Find ways to obtain necessary items. Find people you trust with which to work and network to provide the things each other needs so that we can take care of each other. Because I'm going to tell you, you know, this whole myth is crackling down around us, and if we're not prepared for it, we're going to be in Hurtsville.
I appreciate it, Chris. Again, you're welcome to come back to our show anytime. Our good friend Chris Diamond checking in, folks. He has been on the show a few times, bringing some nuggets of wisdom there. And again, we are against these big government organizations. We've told you over and over, we don't buy into the left-right paradigm on this show. It's not black versus white. It's not rich versus poor. It's not man versus female. It's not about gay versus straight even. It's not about Hispanic versus Asian. It's not about any of these things. It's about the government versus you. It's you versus the state. And we've been telling you this over and over and over. You got to stand up for your own rights. You got to be willing to do this. You got to be willing to stand up to them and say death to their new world order. Now, in closing comments tonight, I do want to just mention one other thing. A good friend of mine, on the same note, had passed away yesterday, and he is a fairly well-known comedian, very liberty-oriented comedian, and his name is Tim Wilson. He was a good friend of mine. He was only 52 years old, and he died of a heart attack last night. So we are very, very sad that we got the news early this morning about our good friend Tim Wilson dying. And again, we'll have to maybe play some of his bits about the government, because Tim had said himself that he's definitely not a Democrat or Republican. He says very libertarian. Do all the drugs you want and leave him the hell alone. So I totally agree with our good friend Tim, and we say rest in peace to Tim. And for all the rest of you guys out there who have avoided the death traps of the government and are still among the living, we ask you to continue listening to these shows Sunday through Thursday on the My View Matters radio network. And with that being said, I bid you all a good night.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!